The Minnesota Timberwolves went into Miami and beat the Heat. And that's something that we're trying to help you do, is beat the competition in your fantasy leagues. I'm Jamie Eisberg. This is Sergio Gonzalez. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll. We're a little high-tech, a little new, a little up-to-date today because our studio's been updated. And I know you probably are saying, where was the last podcast? Because our great producer, who's staring at us through the glass on the other side of the window, unfortunately had a little bit of a problem. So we did record a podcast on Monday. We reviewed some of the trades and how they exactly broke down. But that never aired for whatever reason. So we fixed some things here, and we shouldn't have any problems going forward. But we'll review some of the trades. You can check out Sergio's column, Fantasy Fast Break, on fantasynews.cbsports.com. You can also check out the video from
Jamie's video.
Monday. I pinch it for Sergio, as we told you on the podcast that never aired. Sergio was having some illness. He had the Paul Pierce / Marquise Daniels illness and was not able to participate in the podcast on Monday. So you didn't get to hear the great Adam Azer and all of his great analysis. So you should check out his podcast, which you could also find on iTunes as well as CBSSports.com. In any event, this is Fantasy Pick and Roll. We talk fantasy basketball here. This is the end of Fantasy Week 18. We're heading into Fantasy Week 19. And usually what we like to do is kind of recap what happens on the slate from Wednesday, because it's always a full slate of games, as well as look ahead to the upcoming week and help you with some free agents. As I said to open the show, Minnesota beats Miami. I was at that game, got a chance to speak to a lot of the Timberwolves guys, which you can get into as well. No Dwayne Wade. So they get upset at home in what was a very disappointing game if you're a Heat fan, or certainly if you're a fantasy owner, because Dwayne Wade did not play. Some of the injury things, just to catch you up to date, Dwayne Wade probably going to play, my assumption would be Saturday against Milwaukee, because coming off that loss, I think he does get back on the court. Kobe Bryant does come back, great in his first game, not so great in his second game. Chris Bosh is going to hopefully play at some point this weekend. We expect to see him coming back into Fantasy Week 19. Darren Williams comes over this knee problem. It seems like some of the guys are getting back on the court, and that's a good thing. Tony Parker plays through the hip problem. Any other of the big-name guys, Joakim Noah, playing through the foot injury?
He's playing, but barely. He's only playing around 10 minutes per game. He thinks he can actually play longer than that. Unfortunately, he doesn't make that call, so he's not playing more than 10 minutes per game, and that might not change for another couple weeks. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Something to keep an eye on. Another big guy who's in trouble, just in terms of his two guys, really, that are in the doghouse for a couple of coaches, Spencer Hawes in Sacramento. He was benched for disciplinary reasons as of Tuesday when they played host to Detroit. We'll find out what happens going into Fantasy Week 19, but his fantasy value is done at this
point. Yeah, he may not play on Friday. Coach Westfall says that he's going to consider it. Part of the reason that he's even considering it is because Jason Thompson's dealing with an injury, so he might need him to play. But right now, he is very far into Coach Westfall's doghouse. I mean, he's been pretty much in that situation since the summer when he decided not to show up for, was it the summer league practice or something like that?
He didn't want to play in the summer league.
He didn't want to play in the summer league, and the coaching staff wanted him to, and he got off on the wrong foot, and unfortunately he hasn't been able to get out of the doghouse. And
he started to play his way out of it. You know, he started to get a little bit better
but it was never
a consistent situation.
Right.
And the one thing about Westfall is he wants guys that are going to produce, and Hawes wasn't producing in that system. You mentioned Jason Thompson. We know about the guard play that they had throughout the course of the season. Obviously, Tyreke Evans has played well, and they've sort of mixed and matched with their front court. And now that they get Carl Andre as a result of the trade, they don't need Spencer Hawes. So Spencer Hawes is somebody, if you have him at this point, drop him, because he doesn't have a lot of value. The other big guy that's in the doghouse now is Andres Biedris, who Don Nelson said after their game against Philadelphia on Tuesday night, it was basically, I don't see any life from him. He only played him 9 minutes against the Sixers. That was tough to watch. He did have 5 rebounds in those 9 minutes. But you're talking about a guy who struggled with inconsistent play, struggled with injuries. And the one thing about Biedris, we've talked about this in numerous podcasts, is he has been very productive for him because he's really the only big man in Golden State.
Right.
And now that they have Anthony Tolliver, now that they have this guy Hunter, Chris Hunter, we know that they'll use Ronnie Turgoff when he's healthy. And Don Nelson isn't afraid to go small, as we've seen with Monta Ellis, with Stephen Curry, with Anthony Morrow, and now C.J. Watson. Biedris might be in trouble here. So I think you're looking at a guy that's going to have to play his way out of this. I think he will, because of his position. If he was a guard and this was happening, bye-bye Andres Biedris. But the fact that he's a 7-footer, can rebound, is really the only guy that rebounds for this team, I think he's still going to be out on the court.
Yeah, I think the problem with, and it's like you mentioned, the charm with Andres Biedris last year when he was putting up around 12 rebounds and 11 points per game. Something.
He was a consistent double
double in that neighborhood. The last couple of years, he's been at least around 10 points and 10 rebounds per game. Part of the charm there was that the Warriors didn't have an inside presence at all, and Bjelica was playing upwards of. He was one of those players we've talked about, Don Nelson's erratic rotations, that Nelson wouldn't mess with his playing time as much as he would others. He was part of that trio with Steven Jackson at the time and Monta Ellis.
But even this year, it was with Ellis and with Curry and with McGetty and Bjelica. Those four guys he really didn't touch.
Right. But last year, more so, he was one of those guys that he would get his minutes no matter what. And in that Golden State offense, you know, anybody that gets plugged in there plays around 40 minutes per game is going to produce. So he was in a good situation. Right now, he's only getting around 20 minutes per game.
24 minutes for the season.
Yeah, 24 minutes for the season, and he's not in the same situation. So the presence of Anthony Tolliver, Ronnie Turioff, when he's healthy right now, he missed the game, I believe.
Yeah, banged up.
Yeah, he was banged up, or he had the flu, I believe. Mm-hmm. As long as those two guys are healthy, he's not going to see more than 20, 25 minutes per game.
Unless he's playing well.
But no, I don't even think, even if he's playing well, Tolliver's going to get his minutes, and those are minutes that weren't
available.
But
Tolliver has really struggled the last few weeks. I mean, you look at when he had the big production, I was under the impression, I'm sure a lot of fantasy owners were as well, that when McGetty had the hamstring injury, mm-hmm. that Tolliver was a guy that could step in and get some increased production. We know Anthony Morrow was going to see more shots, as well as Montel, Stephen Curry. C.J. Watson has really assumed a lot of those minutes from McGetty, and Tolliver, I want to say again, is going to see a boost because of this Bjelica situation. But he's getting the minutes, he's just not producing. You know, I think that's the biggest key. I think Chris Hunter has come in and really done a decent job. Again, Turioff when he's there. So I think it's going to be still a three-way split. But I think that Bjelica, because of his position, because of his size, I do think that he will take the words from Don Nelson, be motivated to play, because I do not think that Don Nelson is going to do what Paul Westphal is doing to Spencer Hawes and banish Bjelica from playing.
No,
I think Bjelica will go out there and will start to put up some decent stats.
Hopefully that's the case, because like we mentioned, he's a center that when he gets the chance to produce, can produce around 10 points, 10 rebounds, a block, maybe a block and a half per game, good field goal percentage because he doesn't take a lot of low percentage shots.
He's a garbage
shots.
Guy.
Right.
He doesn't really shoot the ball very much.
Right. When he shoots the ball, it's because it's an easy layup or something like that.
So yes.
He's not going to hurt you anywhere, and he can be – the last couple of years, he really became a low-end number one fantasy center on a regular basis, so hopefully he can get back to that.
We're going to find out a little bit about this Golden State team because I believe in Fantasy Week 19 they have a four-game road trip to the East Coast, so we'll see exactly how this is going to play out for them.
Some tough matchups for them.
We like to try and give you as much information on these teams when they can. I'm going to get a chance to see Golden State up close and personal Tuesday, March 2nd. So I'll get a chance to break down a lot of those guys and see how they're doing as well. So we'll see what Bjelica is going to look like.
Can you ask Don Nelson what's wrong with him? Why?
It's funny.
Why
there
is
was,
he the way that
there
he
was?
Is?
Part of this whole report about Nelson dogging Bjelica and saying he's showing no life. Nelson really hasn't shown a lot of life in his coaching this year, and that's been part of it. So it's interesting that he's calling somebody out for not showing a lot of effort.
Absolutely true.
Speaking of C.J. Watson, I just made a trade in one of my leagues. I traded C.J. Watson for Shaquille O'Neal. I'm still pending commissioner approval, so if my commissioner is listening to this, hit the approval button. I bring in Shaq. This is it's interesting. I made a lot of trades recently in my two most important leagues. One I'll get to in a minute. You and I are in that league together. But in this other league, it's a keeper league. I've talked about this league quite a bit. I'm in strong contention right now. I have the number two seed. If the playoffs were to start today, I'm leading my division by one game, so I could slip back. But my center play has really struggled. And Shaq, it's funny. I think we sort of overlook Shaq a little bit. His production over the last month has been very solid.
And limited playing time, too. Because it's really only in 25 minutes per game he's doing this.
Here's the thing about Shaq, and this is what I think Cleveland was hoping for when they bring him in. It's only going to get better with Anton Jameson. If he gets single coverage, he's going to shoot a high percentage. He's going to be around 60%. He's going to get you probably in the neighborhood of 6 to 9 rebounds on a given night and one or two blocks. He's the best blocking center that doesn't jump that I've ever seen.
Yeah. So
if you're in any sort of league, roto, head-to-head, whatever the case may be, free throw percentage is going to kill you. But field goal percentage, he's going to be among the best guys in the NBA.
Sure.
If he's averaging anywhere above 15 points, which is what he's been around,
right.
And then the healthy amount of rebounds with a chip in or two here and there with the block shots, mm-hmm. he's a very serviceable number two center. If you could pair him with somebody quality, in my case, I pair him with David Lee.
Sure.
I'm getting good production there. And to give up a piece who's hot right now in C.J. Watson, that's the kind of moves you want to make. I know the trade deadline in our standard free leagues has already passed. But when we're talking about in your commissioner leagues, if you still have the ability to make trades, in the two leagues I'm referring to, the trade deadline in one league is Sunday, February 28th. The other trade deadline in the league that Sergio and I are in together is Monday, March 1st. You want to try and unload players who are hot or try and acquire guys who you think have longevity. So some of the guys I think that people should try and I don't know. See, C.J. Watson sort of, to me, toes both lines because he's a guy I think you want to get now while he's playing at this level in Golden State, a team that could always use scoring, and that's what he is as a scorer.
Right.
But his time frame could be – his value could be limited.
It depends on McGetty. Right.
Now, if McGetty – listen, hamstring injuries, especially for a guy like McGetty who's injury-prone, it could last the rest of the season, and
sure,
they may shut him down.
Sure.
They don't have anything to play for. He is the type of player that would shut himself down. I think this could continue for Watson. Do you?
I do. I think he's pretty much entrenched himself in a role where I think Don Nelson is going to find him minutes even when Corey Maggette gets back. I think Maggette is to the point that even if he does get back, he's not going to be 100% the rest of the way, and he's not going to play and put up the numbers he did in the first half. There was a lot of talk in the first half about how long could Corey Maggette maintain this type of really the production that he was putting up. A lot of that had to do with the fact that he was one of those players that Don Nelson trusted to be one of the heavy minutes guys. Because Don Nelson, he has erratic rotations, but he always has a couple guys that he plays heavy, heavy minutes. And when I'm talking about heavy minutes, I'm talking about 45 minutes per game, that type of thing. I saw the other night, I forget which one of the Warriors it was, played 48 minutes. And it's not the first time. It won't be the last. He plays players that he trusts, he plays heavy minutes. And in the first half of the season, because of the way the Warriors are banged up, because of the situation that they had in Golden State, Corey Maggette was one of those players. I don't think he's going to be that player the rest of the way. Part of that's because of injury. Part of that is because he's gotten players like C.J. Watson to step up and really make it so he doesn't have to lean on players like Maggette as much as he did. So I do think C.J. Watson, with or without Maggette, could be good. His upside is obviously extremely high, as we've seen in recent games, if Maggette's out for a long amount of time. And it is possible that Maggette gets shut down completely. So Watson is an intriguing option, as you mentioned.
Sell high on Darren Collison?
See, I'm a little tentative there because it does sound like Paul's not close. He could be out another few weeks at least. The beat writer for the Hornets on the Times-Picayune said that he didn't think he'd see him back for another 3 weeks. So really you're talking about Chris Paul not coming back until the last two weeks of the season. So I think Darren Collison, he's tricky because you want to sell high knowing that he won't do this when Chris Paul gets back. But you're talking about at least three more weeks of high-end 20 points, 10 assists per game. That's what Darren Collison is right now.
He's about 16 and 10.
No, the last week or so, he's been putting up 20,
oh, he's been triple, double
20
threat.
Points,
sure.
10 assists. He's an elite guard right now. The only reason you're even concerned about him is because Chris Paul could be coming back. But there's no guarantee that Chris Paul comes back, especially if the Hornets, they're out of the playoff race and they have nothing to play for. Why bring Chris Paul back for the last 2 weeks of the season? So you could have this conceivably for the rest of the season. So I'm not one of those – I've talked about him being a sell-high candidate because of what we just mentioned, but I'm getting to the point where I think you have to ride it out and just hope for it to last as long as it possibly can.
Do you hold on to Lou Williams, given the fact that Allen Iverson may be shut down, or do you sell Lou Williams with the fact that Iverson may return?
No, I think you buy low on him. I think
it's hard to buy low at this point, though.
Yeah, no, I think fantasy owners have abandoned Lou Williams, and fantasy owners are quick to forget what Lou Williams did in the first half of the season. I know he's a trending
first
pick.
Month.
Yeah, right. First month before the jaw injury that forced Allen Iverson into town. It doesn't sound like Allen Iverson is going to be back. The deadline, our own Ken Berger reported that if Allen Iverson's situation isn't resolved by next week, so by the end of week 19, we're going to know whether or not Allen Iverson will be back. It doesn't sound too good that he will be back, and I think Lou Williams is going to get a chance to finish out the breakout type numbers that he had earlier this season when he was producing.
Does anybody else benefit with Iverson not being there? Is it just
no, I mean, marginally. I think Jrue Holiday has gotten a chance to contribute at times, and he hasn't done much with it. So I'm not going to sit around and wait for Jrue Holiday
sure.
to do anything.
The shots
Willie
will come
Green,
for Thaddeus Young,
sure.
Maurice Spates.
Right.
Obviously, Brandon and Iguodala are going to be what they are. But
right. The player there is Lou Williams. And early on this season, he was a player we had pegged as a breakout coming into the year because of the situation he was going into. And for the first month of the season, before he got hurt, he was putting up breakout numbers. He was putting up around 16 to 17 points per game, I believe 6 or 7 assists. So I think he can get back to that type of production the rest of the way.
Drew Gooden is a must-add?
Yes, absolutely, especially in those leagues where he's eligible at center. We have to differentiate between the different types of leagues. In some leagues, he's power forward only. In some leagues, he's a center-eligible player. And in those leagues, he is very capable of putting up around 10 points and 10 rebounds the rest of the way. We saw Wednesday night, I believe, what did he have, 20 points, 10 rebounds?
20 points, 13 rebounds, 13 and, rebounds 4 assists.
And 4 assists. That's going to get a lot of fantasy owners excited. He's not going to do that on a regular basis, especially.
But why not?
Craig Smith and DeAndre Jordan are still around. They're not going to be the factors that we were hoping for because of Drew Gooden, and I think Drew Gooden is the player to own there. But because they're still around and they're still very capable players, especially a young player like DeAndre Jordan, we've seen what he's been able to do in spurts, they're going to cut into Drew Gooden's touches from time to time to the point where he's not going to get, I believe, with the 20-point game, he went something crazy. Like he shot like 80% from the field, which is not something he's going to do all the time.
But we've seen him when given minutes.
Yes.
He's been amazing.
Absolutely, but not 20 and 10 amazing.
But 16 and 7.
He's capable of doing that every night, any night, but not every night.
No, but when you talk about him as a number 2 center, number 3 forward.
Number 2 center, absolutely.
Number 3 forward.
Number 3 forward, yes.
So he's starting in most leagues if given a starting role. Forget about
he's
producing.
Absolutely.
You take the chance with him as a starter.
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely.
And you drop Craig Smith and DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Their chance was blown, I think, when Drew Gooden decided not to to seek a buyout again with the Clippers. So I think you had pretty much a two-part question there. Is Drew Gooden going to be good the rest of the way, and is he going to be what he was last night on Wednesday night? I don't think he's going to be what he was Wednesday night consistently.
No, but the one thing I will say is if you look at Drew Gooden when he was in Dallas before the trades happened, when Eric Dampier did not play, Drew Gooden put up monster stats.
Yes.
And I think if you're talking about a guy that's going to be given 30 minutes plus per game, which is what he's capable of getting and is what he got in his first two appearances, I think he played like 25 minutes Monday night against Charlotte, and then he played, I don't know exactly how many minutes he played Wednesday against Detroit, but it was a lot. If he's getting 25 to 30 plus minutes per game, you're going to get significant production from him. And I think you'll see him start to be a starter in the majority of leagues.
Sure. I think the game against the Bobcats that you're referring to, he played 28 minutes, had 10 points, 9 rebounds.
That was off the bench.
Right. That was off the bench. He got the start against Detroit, had 20 points, 13 rebounds in 37 minutes.
Okay.
I think he's going to be somewhere in between there. And I think more on a consistent basis, he'll be closer to the 10 and 9, which is great. I mean, that's...
I would disagree with you. I think he's capable of close to 15 points.
15 points.
Rebounds. The rebounds, I think, are pretty consistent.
Chris Kamen is still going to demand... He's still the more offensive player.
But Kamen's stats have been consistent, though. Look at Kamen's production over the last two games.
Sure, sure.
And the one thing about this is Clippers are on a 3-game win streak. So since they make the trade...
Three-game win streak.
Two of those were without Baron Davis. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a team... I'm sorry, one of those without Baron Davis.
Right.
But you're talking about a team now. They bring in, and Drew Gooden spoke about this after the game against the Pistons. They bring in a veteran guy in Gooden who's been with almost every team in the NBA, it seems like.
Yeah.
So he knows how to play with anybody. And Steve Blake is a perfect backup point guard to any team. And especially a team like this where Baron Davis is a shoot first guard. And Kim Hughes, the coach who's taken over for Mike Dunleavy, has said they aren't afraid to play Blake and Davis in the backcourt together. So you're talking about a team that's going to get good passing. And when you have big guys that are around the rim, which Gooden is, which Kamen certainly is, that's going to open things up and allow those guys to really be productive.
Are you saying the Clippers are good now?
No, I'm saying that Drew Gooden is going to be a great fantasy option, and he's only owned in about 55% of leagues. Go out and pick him up absolutely right now. If you look at there are two guys out there that I think are going to be big, significant contributors to fantasy teams down the stretch. And if you are a winning team right now, we're able to pick them up, you're going to be very successful in the playoffs. The first one is obvious, is Andre Blatch.
Yes.
The second one is going to be Drew Gooden. Because if he could stay healthy and continue to play this role, he's going to be very good. So if you're missing Marcus Camby and Drew Gooden is out there, go out and get him. If you've been dealing with inconsistent center play, go out and pick up Drew Gooden. These are the type of moves, especially in leagues where you use him in two spots. You want to get flexibility. You want to get guys that are going to be productive.
Absolutely.
Brendan Haywood, sell high?
Yes and no. follow up on what Eric Dampier's status is over the weekend. I think we can get a resolution on that fairly soon. It is only a broken
dislocated finger.
So I think he could be back. So if that is the case, then yes, Brendan Haywood is a sell-high candidate because, yes, he's putting up the numbers that he put up in Washington, the numbers that made him a very solid number two center. But once Dampier gets back, he's going to cut into those minutes. Dampier is a player that Dallas likes for his defensive presence, for what he does for the team. He's going to get at least around 20, sometimes probably in the 20 to 25 minute per game range, and that means that they're probably going to be splitting playing time pretty evenly.
The one thing to keep in mind, though, is as long as Haywood plays this well, they will put Dampier in more of a secondary role. He may still be the starter.
So it might be something where
they're just going to cut into each other's time.
Right, but the fact that Dampier is there, he's going to get at least 15 to 20 minutes per game, and that's 15 to 20 less than Haywood's seeing right now. So, yes, he is a sell-high candidate.
Couldn't agree more. All right, you'll get some more sell-high, buy-low candidates, and obviously the trade deadline. Again, some leagues that's passed. Some leagues you still have an opportunity to make some trades over the weekend. Be aggressive if you're in a keeper league. This is the other part of it. Sergio and I are in a keeper league together. I unloaded a lot of players trying to get draft picks because I'm out of it. So I tried to make trades where I was going to acquire draft picks. I traded Steven Jackson and Mehmet Okur for a third-round pick in one league, in one trade. And then I traded Rudy Gay for another third-round pick, and we swapped fifth-round picks. Mm-hmm. So because I'm going to be toward the front of the fifth round, the owner that I made the trade with, Jason Horowitz, one of our video hosts here, he wants to get in the front of the fifth round while giving up his third-round pick. I think those are the type of moves you want to be aggressive. And here's the one thing that I hate with people that make trades and don't make trades. If people are out of it and you're trying to be aggressive and like Sergio, for example, is still in his league, I made Sergio a trade offer today, C.J. Watson for Brendan Haywood. He's got two great centers. I know one is Nene. The other is Brook Lopez. Yeah, so Sergio's never going to play Brendan Haywood.
Right. Actually, I think Brendan Haywood was my fourth center.
I'm not. Yeah, you got Roy Hibbert also.
Right.
I'm not right now in contention, so I'm trying to give Sergio a fair trade. Sergio and I are co-commissioners of this league, so we can't exactly do anything where I'm going to give him a good player just to help him out.
Right.
But in any event, I think it's a way to get Sergio a guard that he needs because I believe you're starting Nate Robinson.
Yeah,
right
Nate
now.
Robinson is my number four guard. That's not going to work.
So C.J. Watson would be a great value for you, and you giving me Haywood gives me an opportunity just to plug somebody in just to catch up for some of the trades and still be competitive.
Right.
It doesn't help us in terms of keeper value. It's a keeper league, so we keep three players. We've talked about this league before. Sergio set this up where we keep a center, a forward, and a guard. His keepers are fantastic. You have
Dwayne Wade,
Brook Lopez, and
Andre Iguodala.
So you're set there. I'm set in my keepers also. My keepers have just been injured all season. I have Brandon Roy at guard, Carmelo Anthony at forward, and I made a trade. I'm sorry, I have Nene. I made a trade to acquire
Marc Gasol is my other center.
Marc Gasol is my other center. So I have Nene. Again, these guys aren't going to be keepers for either of us, but it gives Sergio another option at guard, and it keeps me competitive over the last few weeks because right now I'm starting Andres Piedras as a result of the trades as my second center. Make these type of trades. Trade for draft picks. Trade for keepers. If you're in position to acquire those, I like Emac's strategy in all fantasy leagues. You play to win now.
Absolutely.
It's Herm Edwards. You play to win if you have a chance to win. And this league is great. I love this league because I believe of the six playoff spots, there's about eight people in contention for
if not nine. Parity in this league. Yeah. The NFL will be proud of it.
Yes. And even though I'm out of it, I believe I'm two games away from being in playoff contention. So me getting Brendan Haywood, if I could somehow win a couple of these games,
it could happen.
Maybe I get in and knock Sergio out in any event.
That would not be fun.
Yeah, make those type of trades. All right, let's recap some of these games for Wednesday and then get out of here. Memphis, Washington, I think when you're looking at the Wizards, there's a guy you got to keep an eye on, James Singleton. Very good rebounds in the last two games for the Wizards. And without Josh Howard, there's a spot available for someone to step up and play well.
I think Mike Miller will get a chance also to step up a little bit.
Couldn't agree more, but Singleton's going to get minutes, and that's the big key.
Absolutely.
Al Thornton is now the starter. If he's available for whatever reason, pick him up. That's another guy, buy low if he's available, because he's going to be a tremendous option, as well as we said, Andre Blatch. Portland, Toronto, again, Toronto dealing with the Chris Bosh scenario. They got to get him healthy, and Marcus Camby has his ankle problem. I think both guys will be available coming into Fantasy Week 19, but just monitor that situation.
Jared Jack's playing well for the Raptors again.
Minnesota, again, a team I got a chance to see and talk to some of these guys. They like Darko. It's amazing how much that Kurt Rambis likes Darko Milicic. He's been a very good defensive presence over the last couple of games since he's been there. He's made no bones about it. He's going back to Serbia after this year.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be in the NBA anymore. He may come back to the NBA in a couple of years. I don't see it happening. But his presence, and this was interesting, in the game against Miami, Darko was on the court almost the entire fourth quarter, and Al Jefferson was not. And so if you're an Al Jefferson owner, this is not a good thing, because the one thing about Jefferson, we know he's an offensive force, but when Kevin Love is going well, Kevin Love now has 5 double-doubles in his last 5 games. Mm-hmm. Kevin Love is going well, he's the offensive guy that they're going to go to. He can shoot from outside. He's a good inside presence. He had 3 3-pointers in the game against Miami, and for a guy his size, he told me before the game he's really worked on developing his body. He's interested in continuing to develop his post moves. He likes playing. He says he gets the benefit of playing in practice against everything he needs to work on, because he gets an outside big man in Ryan Gomes to defend and also to learn from, and then an inside force in the post of Al Jefferson to learn from as well. So he says his game is only going to continue to get better. Kevin Love's a player. Obviously, you've seen his development over 2 years. Fantastic. But Jefferson and Darko, that's a scary scenario if you're an Al Jefferson owner. So you want to see that sort of go away if you're Darko. Don't pick up Darko just yet, but no. He could build up
some
momentum.
Well, in some category-based leagues, he's always been – I mean, he's been a complete bust in terms of his NBA value.
Yes.
But in category-based leagues, from time to time, when he's gotten playing time, like Jamie's hinting at, that he could get the rest of the way, he's been a very good source for blocks. He can get you around 2 blocks per game if he's getting the minutes. So.
And he can shoot a high percentage in the paint as well. So the other categories, he's not going to really help you out too much. The only other thing from Minnesota is Corey Brewer. Kurt Rambis talked about how his shot was something that they really wanted to work on, and you've seen his offensive game develop.
Yes.
One of those marginal-based, you know, our boss hates when we say this, but a matchup-based starter for fantasy owners. Same thing with Ryan Gomes. And then Johnny Flynn, I got a chance to talk to him also. Love his game, obviously. Just pure speed. Mm-hmm. If he was 6 inches taller, he'd be unbelievable. But height is going to be his problem. He got a lot of shots blocked or just altered, or he just couldn't get a shot off. But love Johnny Flynn, and I'm actually going to do a story on rookie guards, because in the last 3 weeks I will have seen, or still going to see, all of the elite rookie guards.
Johnny Flynn,
Stephen Curry is coming in here on Tuesday. Tyreek Evans I spoke to already. And then on Saturday I'm going to see Brandon Jennings. So the only guys that I will not see from this really elite class of rookie guards is going to be Darren Collison, who's really gotten an opportunity because of the injury. You could maybe throw Drew Holiday in the conversation just
no,
if you want to.
I wouldn't.
Ty Lawson is somebody that needs to be mentioned there.
Sure.
But really, those 4 guys are the cream of the crop, in my opinion. Another guy who's playing really well from a rookie perspective, Taj Gibson.
Yes.
Unbelievable what this guy's been able to do in limited production, only getting about 25 to 27 minutes per game. But I think he's got 3 straight double-doubles, really taking advantage of this trade scenario from Tyrus Thomas. I love Taj Gibson. I think he's going to be very good going into next year, and I think he's a player to target right now if he's still available.
Oh, absolutely. He's averaging 14.2 points and 11 rebounds over his last 5 games. The presence of Hakeem Warwick kind of scares me a little bit, but right now it's not an issue. He's also giving you around a block and a half per game. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the way, Taj Gibson could be one of those sleeper fantasy heroes. And if he's available, he shouldn't be.
I couldn't agree with you more. Chicago wins that game against Indiana. Good to see that Danny Granger, whatever his personal situation, that forced him to miss the game Monday, that he's over. Mike Dunleavy has a little case of food poisoning. He should be back. I think we just got to give a round of applause to Kevin Durant. Obviously, the scoring streak comes to an end, 25 points. What was it, 29 games?
Yes, 29 games.
29 games in a row. Manu Ginobili didn't help with that tremendous block. If you got a chance to see it, if not, check it out on YouTube.
Block of the year.
It might be. I think LeBron has a few that might be up for contention as well. But
I think Nate Robinson blocked Shaq earlier.
He did. He did. That's
so
going to be
that's up there.
That's going to be up there also. Uh-huh. But LeBron chasing down anybody is going to be up for contention. Kevin Durant just playing at an unbelievable level. But that's really the only thing to say. Manu Ginobili and the Spurs, big win for them. And Tony Parker again comes back from the hip problem. So
Richard Jefferson is going to go back to small forward and. That's not going to help him too much, but...
Where was he playing before?
He was playing some power forward, actually.
Oh, okay. I see. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say he's playing the 2-guard, but George Hill is really... So it's interesting. George Hill has really maintained his fantasy value going forward, and I think that will continue.
Absolutely.
Orlando beats Houston. Something to keep an eye on is just Luis Scola. He left the game, only played 16 minutes. I know it was a result probably of score and to give Scola a little bit of a rest.
But I looked into it today. There's no injury news coming out of
nothing.
Houston.
But
it was a blowout, too.
You still want to be careful with that.
Sure.
And we'll see how Kevin Martin does.
Sure.
Trevor Ariza and Kyle Lowry both dealing with injuries there for them. Steve Nash comes back for Phoenix and plays well against Philadelphia. Good to see that his lower back and abdomen problem not going to be an issue. But we'll see what happens when they go on the road. They have one more home game, and then they go on the road to San Antonio Sunday. I think he's going to play in that game because it's a big game for them.
Absolutely.
Good to see that he's okay. Kobe, again, as we said, comes back from the ankle problem. Tremendous monster game against Memphis. Thankfully, Andrew Bynum doesn't get hurt there. And but then he struggles at Dallas. But, again, I think you'll see Kobe no worries there. Darren Williams and Andre Kirilenko dealing with injury situations. Williams plays. Kirilenko says he's going to be back Friday, so that's a good sign. Hopefully he's okay with the back spasms, because really a breakout season for him. And then the Detroit Pistons, once again, injury is a problem for them. I think it was, what, Villanueva missed the game?
Tayshaun
Prince, I know for sure, missed the
game. Villanueva played. He just played poorly.
Tayshaun and Ben Gordon both missed the game, right?
No, Tayshaun played.
I thought Tayshaun was injured.
No, Tayshaun played, and he's playing well, actually. Tayshaun's one of them.
I thought he was injured.
They're dealing with a few injuries, but it wasn't. I'm trying to remember who it was.
I know Richard Hamilton had the missed free throws.
Right.
Somebody was hurt for Detroit. Check on that. And Jonas Jerebko, another rookie just to keep an eye on. So there's some of the injuries to monitor there. We always catch you up with the injuries on Monday, as well as some free agents. You can check out Sergio's waiver wire column. Who's the main guy to pick up this week? Is it Drew Gooden?
Tayshaun Prince is one of them, actually.
Drew Gooden.
Yes.
Who else?
Drew Gooden.
C.J. Watson.
C.J. Watson. We're looking at a lot of players. Well, they're going to have to check it out.
Okay. There you go. Another injury just to monitor is Paul Pierce with this thumb. We've talked about this before. This is something that could linger, and hopefully he will be okay. But you can see his waiver wire column. You can check out his fantasy fast break, his stardom sit him, his fantasy planner. And again, the two videos that he does with Lauren Shahadi, must watch, because not only are they fun and entertaining, they're certainly informative. You can check out our podcast on iTunes, as well as on CBSSports.com and fantasynews.cbsports.com. And again, we welcome your emails. I know I always promise we're going to read them. We'll read them on Monday. DMFantasyHoops@CBS.com. That's DMFantasyHoops@CBS.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at CBS Gonzalez and at Jamie Eisenberg, as well as at Fantasy News. Sergio does a great job throughout the week answering and getting back to all of his Twitter followers that like to send him requests. And if you know me from my game, whenever I go to games, I usually make a lot of comments on there, which have to be I try to be entertaining with it when Darko shoots air ball free throws and just Darko Milicic jokes. In any event, check all that stuff out, and we'll come to you again on Monday. Hopefully your fantasy leagues are going well and you're competing for some playoff spots and championships. Again, make trades, be aggressive, be that type of owner. Don't sit back and let your league the chance to win your league pass you by. So we always encourage you to be aggressive. And again, if you have any questions, DM fantasyhoops@cbs.com.
Just for that, I'm going to accept your trade.
There you go. For Adam Azer, our great for podcast producer, as well as Aaron Weisberg, who's set us up here with this fantastic studio. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. This is Sergio Gonzalez, and this is Fantasy Pick and Roll. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for coming out. Bye.